Welcome to All My Children Wear Fur Coats, a program dedicated to creating a legacy for your pet. Animal companions, your pets, your children, whatever you call them, they are dearly loved family members. As pet parents and animal lovers, we have an obligation to ensure their current and future well-being. Join estate planning attorney and animal advocate Peggy Hoyt, your host, every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time here on Nature's Channel.fm. Peggy explores the many alternatives available to help you provide for the future care of your pets. They love us unconditionally. Let's make sure we care and provide for them in every circumstance.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats on Nature's Channel.fm. I'm your host, Peggy Hoyt, and as always, it is my pleasure to be with you today. As you know, we discuss a lot of different pet topics on this show, but particularly we're interested in planning for our pets, and consistent with my book, All My Children Wear Fur Coats, How to Leave a Legacy for Your Pet. Today, we are going to talk about pet planning with our special guest, Professor Jerry Beyer. And Jerry, I'd like to welcome you to our show as our special guest. How are you today?
Thank you, Peggy. It is certainly my pleasure to be with you today. I'm honored to be invited to be on your fantastic show.
Well, thank you so much. And just so that our listeners know that you and I have a little bit of history together, I first met Jerry, not in person, but virtually, when I was doing the research for my book, All My Children Wear Fur Coats, because Professor Beyer is a very well-written and a prolific writer on all things regarding estate planning, but particularly in the world of pets and estate planning. And I came across a lot of his written materials and knew that he would be the perfect person for me to get to know. And so I've just really enjoyed the opportunity to know you over the years, Jerry, and I'm so thankful for the guidance that you've given me. And I'd like you to tell our listeners a little bit about your background and how you got to where you are today.
Very good. Well, after practicing law for a while, back right out of law school, which was in at Ohio State in Columbus, I then went into teaching, and that was back in 1981, and I've been teaching at various law schools ever since. And it was around the year 2000 or so that I was teaching at the University of Santa Clara in California. And one of their law review editors approached me and said they were in desperate need of a legal article for one of their upcoming issues. And they asked me if I had anything I could write about. And I really wasn't working on anything at the moment, but then I remembered that Margaret, my wife, she had been accumulating all sorts of newspaper articles and clippings and magazine articles about people who wanted to provide for their pets. And she had been telling me for years that this would be something for me to write about because she and our family is the real big animal lover. So I decided that since I had an opportunity to do it and it sounded interesting, that that's what I would do. And that's when I first started researching and writing about how people could plan for their pet animals. And at the beginning of that time, when I would mention that I was doing this, unfortunately, people sort of laughed at me. They said this was kind of a funny topic, and not that many people, especially lawyers, took me seriously. But things changed rapidly, and over the next 5, 10 years or so in the 2000s, this got to be an extremely popular topic. And in fact, I am asked to speak on estate planning for pets at various conferences for both lay individuals and attorneys and CPAs and financial planners maybe 10 times a year now. So it has become a very, very popular thing, at one time considered sort of strange.
Well, you're absolutely right. And it is still not completely uncommon for me to get some raised eyebrows when I tell people that I have a passion for pets and that I always include my clients' pets as part of their estate planning. But you're right, it's much more accepted today than it was 10 or 15 years ago. Do you know off the top of your head how many states have now adopted some form of a pet trust statute?
I believe that we now have every state. Within the last year, the last two holdout states, which were Louisiana and Minnesota, and I actually am holding in my hand a scratch sheet of paper where I've written down that I just read within the last month or two that both Louisiana and Minnesota enacted pet trust statutes, becoming, I think, now the last. So I think we now have all 50 states with a pet trust statute, which now makes it way easier to provide for a pet than back in the day when you had to draft a more sophisticated trust arrangement to do so.
Well, that is very good news. And my clients who live in Minnesota who had to do Florida pet trust because Minnesota didn't have a statute, I'm sure will be happy to hear about that. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about what a pet statute is and why you and I even care about that?
Sure. If you go back in history in the United States of how you can prepare or plan for pets, it has always been allowed to do it, but you had to do it in a clever way. You aren't able or weren't able just to have a provision saying you leave so much money in trust to care for the animal, because an animal, not being a human, was deemed not to be able to be a beneficiary of a trust. This meant that in order to make any kind of provisions for the pet that would be binding on the survivors, you had to create a longer trust with more details where you specified a caregiver and the caregiver had to be given the property from the trust if they took good care of the animal. And it could easily be done, but it required a lot more sophistication and really meant that pet trusts and ability to help out pet owners were limited to those who could hire an attorney who was familiar with this, and there weren't many attorneys that were familiar with it. Starting in the late 1990s and then progressing with greater speed over the last 15 years, states have enacted statutes that directly authorize you to leave money for the care of your animal. And even if you don't provide extensive instructions, the statute will fill in the gaps and will be sure that those arrangements are enforceable, making it now much easier for people to plan for their pets than it used to be.
Yes, and that is awesome for everybody who is interested in providing for their pets. And I know you and I would encourage anybody who's a pet lover to make sure that they have their pets included as part of their end-of-life planning, but also as part of their disability planning. I'm really excited to hear about Louisiana and Minnesota. I can't get over that, so that's great. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that one of the ways when I'm talking to audiences of disbelievers, you might want to call them, I ask the audience, how many of you own a pet animal? And almost every lawyer in the audience will raise his or her hand that either that themselves or their spouse or children own a pet. And then I say, well, upon death, would you want them perhaps to be sent to the shelter to, you know, walk the green mile? And no one raises their hand. No one says they want their pet to be euthanized or to have any kind of improper treatment after they die. And then I simply say, if you don't plan, that's exactly what could happen. And that kind of gets their interest piqued a little bit to see what they can do.
Yes, that would pique my interest if I was a pet lover. Now, you mentioned that your wife, Margaret, is the animal lover in your family. Tell us a little bit about the pets that you have.
Well, right now, unfortunately, and especially unfortunately for her, we do not have any pets because we travel extensively. We're out of the country several months a year and on the road a lot during the year. And we just think it wouldn't be fair to have a pet and put the pet into a care facility for such a long period of time.
Certainly understandable. Well, I'm more than happy to share my 3 horses, 7 dogs, and 2 cats with you and with Margaret.
Well, thank you. What she really wants is an Irish wolfhound. That's her dream doggy.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I hope she can accomplish that dream someday. I have a dog named Wolf, but he's not an Irish wolfhound. He's actually a husky Labrador. That would be amazing for her to get an Irish wolfhound someday.
Yeah, hopefully we will when we don't travel as much. Or we find someone who would be a real good pet sitter if we're not around.
Absolutely. Pet sitters are very, very important components of my day-to-day life. I have an excellent one. She's the second one that I've had, but I have had terrific success with long-term relationships with my pet sitters, and you know that's becoming big business too, is this whole idea of organizing pet sitters. I think there's a website now called Dog Vacay or Pet Vacay, so that people can it's like an Airbnb for pet sitters.
I've also heard of more and more pet boarding facilities becoming very sophisticated and very high-tech, where they're not like the old-school kennels that we're used to, but that each animal has its own space, and they have all sorts of stuff, and they have audio and video access over the Internet, so you can talk to your animal. They can see you when you're gone, all sorts of things.
That's true. In fact, my assistant, Tiffany, has found a place here in the Central Florida area where it has all of those capabilities. So she can watch her dog while she's gone. There's a swimming pool for the dogs. There's television hour. They can watch TV. And she says that when she comes to pick up her dog, that the dog doesn't even want to go home. And then when the dog gets home, she sleeps for days because she's had such a terrific time while she was there.
Oh, that's wonderful. And there's a lot more of those going on now. In fact, I just was reading in a similar line that one of the major New York airports is going to open a pet-friendly area for people who are having to transport their animals.
Yes, they are. In fact, we talked about that on the show last week. So that is very exciting, and hopefully that means that in the future we are going to have much better concern for the care of animals that are not traveling necessarily in the compartment with the passengers, but those that have to travel in cargo or in the baggage area. So before we go to break, Jerry, I want to introduce the listeners to your book, called Fat Cats and Lucky Dogs, and I want to tell them that it is available on Amazon.com for $39.95, and if you're a Prime member, you can have that delivered in 2 days. And this is a book that Jerry has co-written with another attorney by the name of Barry Seltzer, and I'm going to have you just introduce the book briefly, but then we're going to go to break, and we'll talk more about that, Jerry, when we come back.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you very much for mentioning a competing book. That is most kind of you, because I also think your book is absolutely excellent. Anyway, this is a book that talks about the history of pet caring for pet animals and the things that you can do today to make sure your pet is cared for upon disability and death.
So, Jerry, that's why you and I think alike. You know, I love that we have books that are very similar. I don't consider you to be a competitor in the sense of a negative connotation. I think that the more that we're able to educate people about the benefits of planning for their pets, the better off all of the pets in the world will be. So it's like having a McDonald's and a Burger King on the same corner. I think a little competition that way is probably a good thing.
Well, I think our books are a lot healthier than the stuff you'd get at those stores you mentioned.
Oh, absolutely. So we are going to go to break here directly, and when we return, we're going to continue our conversation with Professor Jerry Beyer, and we will be right back.
You are listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats with estate planning attorney and animal advocate Peggy Hoyt, airing every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time here on NaturesChannel.fm. Find archives and more at LegacyForYourPet.com.
NaturesChannel.fm. Amazing talk radio shows from gardening to animals, natural health and wellness, and fighting for nature. Nature'sChannel.fm. It's where we grow.
Organic, loose leaf, and simply delectable. Prasanna Tea Company strives to help people find balance, connect, and live in wellness. We source the finest tea leaves from pristine farms around the world and blend them with some of nature's purest gifts, creating unique infusions that are healthfully life-enhancing, blissfully aromatic, and positively delicious. Find us at PrasannaTea.com. Prasanna Tea. It's tea the way it should be. Start your week off in a beautiful way. Come to Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service for a powerful and beautiful eco-spiritual celebration where we honor and support ourselves through the reflection of nature. Join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time here at natureschannel.fm. Visit thechurchofnature.org to find out more about Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service and the Church of Nature.
Join the Horses, Heart, and Soul Herd and Sarah Willerson on natureschannel.fm Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern for horse wisdom straight from the stalls. Horses are the heartbeat of the earth, and they help us attune our own hearts with our souls. They encourage us to remember that we are part of the harmonious flow that is nature. Tune in every Wednesday for horse wisdom shared straight from the stalls.
Sewindipity, every Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on natureschannel.fm. Want to know what the latest garden trends are? Learn about homesteading techniques and get helpful tips that will help your garden grow? Join Shelley Levis as she explores eco-friendly gardening methods and fun do-it-yourself projects that will have you thinking outside the pot. Sewindipity, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on natureschannel.fm.
Nature's Channel is where you grow with amazing talk radio shows. We talk about animals and gardening, natural health and wellness. Listen live at Find Archives at natureschannel.fm.
You are listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats with estate planning attorney and animal advocate Peggy Hoyt, airing every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time here on natureschannel.fm. Find archives and more at legacyforyourpet.com.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Peggy Hoyt. You are listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats on natureschannel.fm. We air Mondays at 3 o'clock, and you can find our archives on natureschannel.fm. Today we have a special guest, Professor Jerry Beyer. And Professor Beyer is a professor of law at Texas Tech University. He is also the author of a book called Fat Cats and Lucky Dogs, and I love that title. So, Jerry, tell us a little bit about your book, which folks can get on Amazon.com if they are interested.
Well, thank you very much, Peggy. Well, the book actually is a combination of my work and that of, as you mentioned before the break, of attorney Barry Seltzer. And he is an animal law type person from Canada. And he contacted me about the possibility of working together on a book that we could market then both to the Canadian audience, which is going through the same, their laws going through the same development as in the U.S. And so back, maybe 6 years ago or so, we decided to work together on this book and just put together the things that a person needs to look at, what the law is, how you start to protect your pets, how you choose a caregiver, how you figure out the amount of money or other property to use, and how to set up other arrangements. What we're excited about is hopefully coming out with a second edition soon because of the tremendous number of states that have updated their law since we wrote the book and the more experience that people have had now with pet trusts than they did back then.
Sure, and every day more and more people are adopting pet trusts for the benefit of their pets. I know just this week I planned for a family of dogs and I planned for a family of 9 cats yesterday. So all my clients are planning for their pets. I'm just happy to report that.
Well, that is excellent. Some of the interesting experiences sometimes that I've run into is talking with people who are planning for non-traditional animals, not just your dogs and cats. I got involved a lot with people who plan for parrots, because a parrot is a very long-lived animal, can live maybe even 100 years. So you have to plan for caregivers and arrangements, basically to have people in place that aren't even born yet at the time these people are making their plan.
Absolutely. So why don't you talk a little bit more about that? So how are you advising people who need to find pet caregivers for these long-lived pets, like parrots, like tortoises, or other very, very long-lived pets? I mean, horses kind of fall into this category, but certainly not in the same realm as tortoises or parrots.
There's basically two approaches that I usually talk about to people in dealing with the long-term animals. One is you just set up a regular pet trust, but you need some sort of animal care panel or some sort of group of people who can change over time to continue to select appropriate caregivers. Now, you may be able to do that with individuals. If you have enough funding, you might be able to have a corporate trust department of a bank, for example, doing that. And I don't mean to get off track, but that's one thing I've seen a huge change in over the years. In the past, a corporate trustee would have nothing to do with a pet trust and helping out. And now many of the banks and trust companies that I've talked to are very open to serving as trustees for a pet trust. And that is very beneficial if it is a long-term arrangement, because hopefully, as a corporation, they will continue to exist for a long period of time. But if you, anytime you have a long-lived animal and you're doing a pet trust, it is of essential importance that you figure out how the new caregivers are going to be selected and how the new trustees are selected to be sure the animal is well cared for and someone is monitoring that care and, of course, managing the money. Some long-lived animals, such as parrots, also have lots of special needs. Not, you know, almost anybody could take care of a cat or a dog. However, a parrot, they're extremely noisy, so apartment dwellers probably shouldn't have them. They're very messy. A lot of people wouldn't want the mess of the seed, et cetera, all around their house. And many parrot owners want their bird to have what we call free flight opportunities, where they're not just in a cage all the time, where they actually get, like, to fly around a house or fly around. In fact, I know one person, a couple who are parrot lovers, they actually built a house with, like, a three-story atrium area so that
wow.
the bird can fly. And
sure,
also,
that's incredible.
And then also when you're dealing with parrots, you have to think about where the parrots come from. They come from places, you know, Africa, Australia, South America, et cetera, that are near the equator, where days and nights are almost always the same length. So it's very upsetting to them to live up in the northern or far southern climes, where we have huge differences during the year between day and night. So to keep the bird healthy, during the summer, you got to put the bird to bed about 6 o'clock, cover it up, and put it in a dark room. And during winter, you got to get it up at 6 o'clock and have it all lit up as opposed to being dark. So a lot of special things have to be done with some of these animals.
Absolutely.
Now, the second thing that I often recommend is you find a facility that is designed for long-term care of animals. There's all sorts of charitable organizations that will provide an animal with this type of long-term care. Now, of course, they lose out maybe on the human-animal socialization that you would want, but sometimes they are more equipped to handle this. Though if any of your listeners decide to use one of these facilities, extreme due diligence is necessary, because I've seen some of these facilities for animals that are run by veterinarian schools of major universities, such as the Stevenson Life Care Center that Texas A&M University runs. And it's like a fantastic retirement home. I would almost like to live there as an animal myself. The facilities are so good, and they got the veterinarian students taking care of them. It's like a resort. And I've also seen other long-term care facilities that are no better than concentration camps for animals, and then as soon as the authorities figure out what's going on, they shut them down. So you have to be very careful if you select one of these long-term care facilities for your animal. But those are the two main options, I think.
Okay, well, and one of the issues that I see in the long-term perpetual care type of facilities is if they aren't a large organization like a Stevenson Center, you know, people that just have a good heart that want to start a perpetual care type program or organization, is that they need to do their own planning to make sure that their organization has longevity and that it's not just going to be for the lifetime of that person who had this great idea and they think they're going to take care of people's pets.
That is so absolutely on point, because a person could be running the most fantastic facility in the world and then go out and get hit by a truck, be deceased, and the family members have no interest in carrying on that the project that they had. So that's why I said you have to be very, very careful in doing that. One thing you can do sort of is to combine the two methods is to have the trust and have the trustee place the animal in the facility but still maintain ownership of the animal and still provide the money to care for the animal so that if something like that happens, the trustee can come regain possession of the animal and find it a new home. So sometimes you could intermix the methods if that would be appropriate.
Excellent. Well, and I'm glad to hear you say that you're finding that there's more and more corporate trust departments that are willing to take on the responsibilities for pet trusts, because I know that has been an ongoing challenge, because although they're very, very happy to manage the money, they haven't in the past, and so I'm glad to hear that's changing. They haven't really been willing to take on the oversight responsibilities, not the day-to-day pet caregiving, but the oversight responsibilities for what's happening with the pets.
That's right. When I talk to the people from the banks and the trust companies, as you said, there's a lot more interest now than there was in the past, and I kind of talk to them, you do the same thing with kids. When you manage trusts for kids and grandkids, you have to make sure that they get good grades maybe or stay off of drugs or do certain things to be entitled to the funds. Well, is it that much different than you make a few random inspections of the caregiver's house and make sure the animal looks good and is well taken care of? And a lot of them say, yeah, that's not so bad. And of course, you appeal to the animal lover in them, because most of the people you're dealing with own animals themselves.
That's true, and I've always found that one of the easiest ways to break the ice in talking to somebody that I may be meeting for the first time is to ask them about their pets and have them tell me about their pets, much like they would tell me about their children.
Many times attorneys tell me it's a good inroad to start planning for their children and grandchildren, because they find it sometimes more exciting to talk about the pets than they do their kids, you know. Kids can be disappointments. They can do bad things. Pets always are nice to you. They give you unconditional love. They're a lot easier to get along with than sometimes your own family members.
Well, and I have seen frequently, as I'm sure you have, that there are people who would prefer to leave their money to their kids, I mean to their pets, rather than to their kids. And we'll talk about that when we come back from break. If you're listening, just joining us, we're talking with Professor Jerry Beyer, and you're listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats on natureschannel.fm. You can also find us on Facebook at natureschannel.fm or follow us on Twitter at Kids in Fur Coats. So we will be right back after the break, and we'll talk more with Jerry Beyer, a professor of law and author of Fat Cats and Lucky Dogs. We'll be right back.
You are listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats with estate planning attorney and animal advocate Peggy Hoyt, airing every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time here on naturschannel.fm. Find archives and more at legacyforyourpet.com.
naturschannel.fm. Amazing talk radio shows from gardening to animals, natural health and wellness, and fighting for nature. naturschannel.fm.
It's where we grow.
Organic, loose leaf, and simply delectable. Prasanna Tea Company strives to help people find balance, connect, and live in wellness. We source the finest tea leaves from pristine farms around the world and blend them with some of nature's purest gifts, creating unique infusions that are healthfully life-enhancing, blissfully aromatic, and positively delicious. Find us at PrasannaTea.com. Prasanna Tea. It's tea the way it should be. Start your week off in a beautiful way. Come to Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service for a powerful and beautiful eco-spiritual celebration where we honor and support ourselves through the reflection of nature. Join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time here at natureschannel.fm. Visit thechurchofnature.org to find out more about Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service and the Church of Nature.
Join the Horse's Heart and Soul Herd and Sarah Willerson on natureschannel.fm Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern for Horse Wisdom Straight from the Stalls. Horses are the heartbeat of the earth, and they help us attune our own hearts with our souls. They encourage us to remember that we are part of the harmonious flow that is nature. Tune in every Wednesday for Horse Wisdom Shared Straight from the Stalls.
Serendipity, every Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on natureschannel.fm. Want to know what the latest garden trends are? Learn about homesteading techniques and get helpful tips that will help your garden grow? Join Shelley Levis as she explores eco-friendly gardening methods and fun do-it-yourself projects that will have you thinking outside the pot. Serendipity, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on natureschannel.fm.
Nature's Channel is where you grow. With amazing talk radio shows, we talk about animals and gardening, natural health and wellness. Listen live at Find Archives at natureschannel.fm.
You are listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats with estate planning attorney and animal advocate Peggy Hoyt, airing every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time here on natureschannel.fm. Find archives and more at legacyforyourpet.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats on natureschannel.fm. I'm your host, Peggy Hoyt, and today we have with us Professor Jerry Beyer, who is a professor of law at Texas Tech and also the author of Fat Cats and Lucky Dogs, How to Leave Some of Your Estate to Your Pet. And before we went to the break, we were talking about the fact that sometimes people love their pets more than or as much as their two-legged children, and that can sometimes cause problems in the planning world. So I know, Jerry, that on the Amazon site, you talk about an heiress by the name of Gail Posner, who left $3 million trust fund and her $8.3 million Miami Beach mansion to her dogs, and her daughter received only $1 million and is challenging that in court. Can you talk a little bit about that case?
Actually, other than what you've told me, I have not seen any recent developments to know exactly what has come out of that. But you can see that that is an example of what happens when a person leaves a excessive amount to care for an animal. It's almost sure to cause the family members, the normal heirs, the children, for example, to contest and be upset about the situation. So that's one thing that when I am advising clients, I'm very careful to advise them is don't leave too much because it's going to cause a contest. Or if you do really want to leave what I would call a disproportionate amount to take care of the pet, be very specific about what you would want to have happen if a court would determine it was too much. Because many courts, either with or without a state law, and many of the state laws themselves, say that if the amount is deemed to be excessive, the amount passes as if the animal had already died. So you don't want to name the person who gets the money afterwards to be, for example, your children, if you're giving, not giving them anything, because then they have a big incentive to say you're leaving too much, therefore have the court deem that amount to pass to us. So if you're leaving too much to, not too much, but leaving an excessive amount to take care of the pet, specifically say, and if a court finds that it's too much, it goes to a particular charity, for example, and that will discourage the unhappy heir from contesting.
Yes, that would be discouraging. Although, let's just talk about for a second, because this is similar also to the Leona Helmsley case, where there was a challenge that she had left too much for her dog Trouble. And so there was a challenge to that planning as well. There's a part of me that kind of rankles at the idea that I should be allowed to leave whatever amount I think is appropriate to my pets, even if it's 100% of my estate and the dollar amount shouldn't matter. Can you respond to that just a little bit? I mean, does that offend you at all, like it offends me as a pet owner?
100% it does, because I believe that a person who earns the money and who is leaving it should be able to do whatever with it, whatever they want, and it's nobody else's business whether it is reasonable or unreasonable. So, Peggy, you and I are on exactly the same page with regard to this. However, despite the fact that we disagree, that's not the law with regard to pet trusts, and so you have to be careful. I mean, they don't do that if you leave too much to your child, too much to a friend, too much to a charity. There's no provisions like that anywhere except in the pet trust world.
Correct, and so maybe that's going to have to be our next stand in this pet trust evolution, is to get the states to abolish this limitation on how much you can leave to pets, because it really does bug me a lot, because certainly if you and I work for our money, and if we're of sound mind when we create our pet trust, and if we say, I don't care that I have $100 million, I'm leaving every penny of it to my pets, I really feel like we should be able to do that.
I completely agree with you. As an interesting aside, this, I don't know if this is going to become some sort of new area, but now there are people who are starting to leave money not to take care of animals, but to take care of plants. They want to preserve plants that have been in their family for many, many years, and so they're leaving money to care for their plants.
Oh, wow. Well, there's a whole new book on the horizon for you, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know of too many situations about that yet, but one never knows.
So I was interested to learn that your co-author, Barry Seltzer, is an attorney from Canada. So can you tell us a little bit about what the evolution of pet trust laws has been in Canada?
Sure. The evolution in Canada has been almost the same as in the United States. In other words, at first they were not looked upon very well, and as time has gone on, more and more of the Canadian provinces have started to enact statutes very similar to those in the United States. And that makes sense. We're both based on the same common law legal system that came over from England, and it's been a very parallel development. And the even if you don't have the statutory pet trust provisions, if you would create a traditional pet trust in the United States, you probably could use almost the same terms in Canada, and in most of the provinces it would work.
Well, that's good to know. And so, like the United States, each of the provinces is having to adopt their own form of pet trust statute. Is that true?
Yes, that would be my understanding as well. But, of course, I leave the Canadian law expertise to Barry.
Yeah, absolutely. I will too. So one of the things that you were talking about is one of the ways to discourage people from challenging the amount of money that might be left for the benefit of a pet would be to have this alternate beneficiary name, perhaps a charitable organization. Talk to our listeners a little bit, Jerry, about this concept of what's known in the legal world as interim clauses and whether or not you think those are effective.
I think an interim clause would be a nice thing to add as well. Now, what an interorum clause is, that's just a fancy term for what is called a no contest or forfeiture provision, which basically means that if a beneficiary of a will contests the will and then loses, they will lose the gift given to them in the will. So a person, before they will contest a will, has to think, do I stick with what has been given to me in the will, which is an absolute sure thing, or do I contest? If I contest and win, I'll get more, the amount that I would get by intestacy if there were no will, but if I contest and lose, I will get absolutely nothing. So you kind of scare them into not contesting. And when you are figuring an amount that you give to the person that you want to scare, you have to realize it can be a huge amount less than what they would get if the will was invalid, because if they contest the will, they normally have to hire a lawyer who will charge a contingency fee and will take 1/3 to 40% of the recovery. So just as a very simple example, let's assume that by intestacy you were going to get $100,000. Well, if you contested and you won, you'd only walk away with maybe $60,000 to $70,000, and then you factor in the amount of risk. So how many people would give up a sure 50 for maybe getting 60? That's sort of a deal, no deal arrangement. Not many people would do that. Would you give up a sure 40 for maybe 60? Not many people would do that. So you don't have to leave the person that much, probably only 25 or 30% of what they would take by intestacy is enough to scare them. And that'll make people think twice about contesting a will.
Now, are these no contest provisions, are they valid in the state of Texas?
Yes, they are valid here. They're valid in most states, but there are some states that will not enforce them, and there are some states that will not enforce them under certain circumstances. For example, Texas, for example, says that if you contest the will in good faith and with just cause, then the forfeiture doesn't occur. On the other hand, it does no harm. See, the way I look at a no contest clause is that the cost of having the lawyer included is minimal, probably costs nothing. It's just a paragraph that's pretty much form language that you put into the will, and it might work. So I always encourage people to put them in. It can do no harm and could only help.
Absolutely. Well, and in Florida, we do not enforce no contest provisions in a will or a trust, but it doesn't mean, like you said, that we don't include them. We certainly do, because I call that a paper tiger, and I'm hoping that if somebody reads that, that it would give them pause to think for a few moments about whether or not they really would want to raise a challenge to any kind of a provision in a will or a trust.
Now, Peggy, an idea that I have purported for states like yours, and I don't know if this will work, is instead of a forfeiture, a reward. If you do not contest the will and you sign a contract saying you will not, then you get the gift in the will. So it's not forfeiting anything. You're receiving something for not contesting. I don't know if that would work.
Hey, it's probably worth trying, along with alternative dispute resolution provisions and other things that we could potentially include. So we are getting ready to go to break, and you are listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats on naturschannel.fm. I'm your host, Peggy Hoyt, and we're talking today with Professor Jerry Beyer, who is a professor of law at Texas Tech and the author of Fat Cats and Lucky Dogs. And we will be right back for our final segment.
You are listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats with estate planning attorney and animal advocate, Peggy Hoyt, airing every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time here on naturschannel.fm. Find archives and more at legacyforyourpet.com.
naturschannel.fm, amazing talk radio shows from gardening to animals. natural health and wellness, and fighting for nature. Nature'sChannel.fm. It's where we grow.
Organic, loose leaf, and simply delectable. Prasanna Tea Company strives to help people find balance, connect, and live in wellness. We source the finest tea leaves from pristine farms around the world and blend them with some of nature's purest gifts, creating unique infusions that are healthfully life-enhancing, blissfully aromatic, and positively delicious. Find us at PrasannaTea.com. Prasanna Tea. It's tea the way it should be. Start your week off in a beautiful way. Come to Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service for a powerful and beautiful eco-spiritual celebration where we honor and support ourselves through the reflection of nature. Join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time here at naturechannel.fm. Visit thechurchofnature.org to find out more about Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service and the Church of Nature. Join the Horses, Heart, and Soul Herd and Sarah Willerson on naturechannel.fm Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern for horse wisdom straight from the stalls. Horses are the heartbeat of the earth, and they help us attune our own hearts with our souls. They encourage us to remember that we are part of the harmonious flow that is nature. Tune in every Wednesday for horse wisdom shared straight from the stalls.
Serendipity, every Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on naturechannel.fm. Want to know what the latest garden trends are? Learn about homesteading techniques and get helpful tips that will help your garden grow? Join Shelley Levis as she explores eco-friendly gardening methods and fun do-it-yourself projects that will have you thinking outside the pot. Serendipity, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on naturechannel.fm.
Nature's Channel is where you grow with amazing talk radio shows. We talk about animals and gardening, natural health and wellness. Listen live and find archives at naturechannel.fm.
You are listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats with estate planning attorney and animal advocate Peggy Hoyt, airing every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time here on naturechannel.fm. Find archives and more at legacyforyourpet.com.
Hello and welcome back. You're listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats on naturechannel.fm. I'm your host, Peggy Hoyt, and today we've been talking with Professor Jerry Beyer, who is a professor of law at Texas Tech and author of Fat Cats and Lucky Dogs. Jerry, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, it certainly has been, like I said, a privilege and an honor to be invited. I've enjoyed this very much, and I hope your listeners have enjoyed it as well.
I'm sure they have. And before we let you go, let's talk a few minutes about funding a pet trust, so making sure that we have enough money, how to calculate the right amount of money, or how to even ensure that we know we're going to have money to fund our trust with. What would you tell our listeners about that, Jerry?
It is very important that the money that you want to have available to care for your pet is there. You could kind of think about the money that you are going to have in your estate and leave a portion of that money to fund the pet trust. But it's possible to fund the pet trust in many other ways, including through a life insurance policy or a portion of your life insurance policy or a part of a retirement plan, an annuity that you may have, even a bank account you could make payable to the pet trust after you're dead. The amount that you want to leave, you have to think of it in two ways. Are you leaving an amount that is actually going to get used up to care for the pet, or are you leaving an amount that is going to earn enough money or income to take care of the pet? Of course, that would require a larger amount, an endowment-type situation. To figure the amount of money, you have to look at the type of animal, the life expectancy, the type of veterinarian care the animal might want, the lifestyle that you want the animal to have. There are websites that will assist you in calculating, based upon different types of animals and how old they are, the amounts of money you would want to consider to leave.
So I like the life insurance idea, and I suggest that frequently to my clients, that they have a life policy that they can earmark for funding their pet trust, and that way they know that they won't use that money up during their lifetime for the purpose of providing for their own retirement and their own care. But yes, IRAs, 401ks, retirement accounts, other just personal assets. What do you tell people, Jerry, when they want to leave their whole estate, so they want to leave their house or their farm for the benefit of the pets so that they can guarantee that their pets are going to have a place to live for the remainder of their lifetime?
There have been situations where that has definitely been done. The problem is you need to be sure that there is sufficient other assets, mainly money, so the trustee can keep up the home. I mean, a home, ranch, farm has a tremendous amount of maintenance associated with it, as well as property taxes, assessments, and so on. So you have to be sure that there's enough of that other money there and that the trustee is authorized to allow a caregiver to live in the house to take care of the pet. So it is more complex to do, but I have seen it work effectively in appropriate circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely. And I chatted with a gal this week who has 27 horses. And so you can't just ask your next-door neighbor or your best friend to take on the responsibility of 27 horses without making sure that those horses have a place to live and that there's going to be plenty of resources available for their care. In that light, I've purchased 21 acres in Virginia for the purpose of creating a facility called All Horses Go to Heaven. So hopefully we will be able to continue to assist our horse lovers in making these long-term plans for their pets. Jerry, I cannot begin to thank you enough for spending time with us today and sharing your wisdom with our listeners. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I'm happy to report that if folks do go to Amazon.com for Fat Cats and Lucky Dogs, that if they scroll down on the page under their Frequently Bought Together column, they have both your book and my book next to each other.
Oh, that is just so wonderful.
Yep, they can get a good deal on buying both books together, Fat Cats and Lucky Dogs, as well as All My Children Wear Fur Coats, How to Leave a Legacy for Your Pet. So, Jerry, thank you again, and we will look forward to having you on the show again in the future, especially when you have the opportunity to release your second edition. And thank you.
You're very welcome, and thanks a lot.
Oh, have a great day. So thank you for listening to us today, and if you are interested, you can follow us on Facebook at All My Children Wear Fur Coats. We're also on Twitter at Kids in Fur Coats. You can visit my website, allmychildrenwearfurcoats.com or legacyforyourpet.com. I also have a couple of other blogs that you could follow if you are interested. We've got petdisputes.com and centerforanimaladvocacy.com. The purpose of this show, of course, is to discuss each week with our listeners topics of interest related to animals, not just always planning for your pets, but we try to start out with planning for your pets and giving you some ideas that you can think about, but then bringing on some really interesting guests that can share with us their expertise and things that they've done in the animal world. And I would just like to remind each of our listeners, because of this summer weather that we're having and how desperately hot it is in some areas, please, please, please do not leave your pets in a car unattended where they could succumb to any kind of experience of the heat in a car that raises dramatically in a very, very short period of time. So please protect your pets in this warm weather. Don't take them with you if you cannot take them out of the car and into the facility that you're going to. Well, we will look forward to seeing you next week. We're here on Mondays at 3 p.m. All My Children Wear Fur Coats on naturschannel.fm. Happy tails.
Thank you for joining us on All My Children Wear Fur Coats here on Nature's Channel.fm. All My Children Wear Fur Coats. explores options and alternatives for creating a lasting legacy for your pet. Visit legacyforyourpet.com to join our email list for updates on shows, links to archives, information on complimentary pet planning workshops, and more. Be sure to tune in every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Happy tails! See you next week.